Now, Castle Country Focus on News Talk 107.3 FM and 750 AM. KOAL.
Welcome to Castle Country Focus. Today we have a special edition, and with me is Commissioner Jake Meller, Commissioner Casey Hopes, owner of Auto Farm, Gus Kalatsis, Peterson Chemical, Alan Peterson, and Edgy Bling, Kara Hill. Thank you for joining with us. This is first time of, we hope, many of these kinds of community forums where we discuss things that's going on in the community. Today, we want to talk a little bit about the county in recent meetings that they've been having concerning this year's budget. The shortfall of this year's budget, which I've been told is 18% of the overall budget, which is significant and has raised questions in the community, and we hope to discuss those and bring some light on it. So, commissioners, what would you like to say about that?
I guess the first thing I'd like to say is thanks for the opportunity. I think too often, especially in our nation, we're getting heated and we're not having healthy conversations. And this, I think, will be an opportunity to have some good, healthy conversations about what are the concerns and what's happening in our community. As far as the budget is concerned, we share the same concerns as a lot of the citizens. And as we get into this, we'll talk about those concerns and we'll have some of those hard questions, and hopefully we can have some of those answers and talk about what has happened as we've gone forward into the community.
Commissioner Miller?
It's an opportunity to really get out there and help educate the community on where their tax dollars go. And when they do get those property tax notices in the fall, what portion of those dollars go to the county, and then what the county does with that money. This last year, we were faced with an interesting dilemma. We recognized that we had expenditures of around $38 million and revenues of only $32 million, according to the budget that we passed. We passed that budget so that we could have this opportunity, instead of making drastic changes without the public input, to educate them on where their dollars are currently going now, so that if we make those changes in the near future, they'll be a part of that decision, not only a part of that decision, because obviously we're elected to help make those decisions, but that we've educated them on why those decisions are going forward, if that makes sense.
Is there one main player as to how come we're short that $6 million?
There are several players, Dylan. The federal government, the state government, local government, there's a number of different programs that we get incentivized to begin, and then they take the funding away later and later, forcing us to take the brunt of everything. So there's several, in fact, hundreds of programs locally that are funded through a variety of different sources, but primarily, and Commissioner Hopes, you can talk more to this if you'd like, but I would say mineral lease dollars, the last 8 years, the past administration, there's been a war on coal. There's not only been a war on coal, but on oil, natural gas, and fossil fuels. And that has been our livelihood for the past several years. There's been times when we've received upwards of $11 million just in mineral lease money that we've been able to reinvest in our community. And decisions of the past have put us in the situation to where we've become dependent on that money for government operations.
Okay, so that mineral lease money this year is how much about?
This year so just to be clear, there's a couple different ways that we receive that money. If it's county owned minerals, which we have some of up in Schofield, that comes directly to the county. If it's on BLM land or forest, it then goes to the federal government. The federal government takes 54% off the top. What the 40 6% is sent to the state. The state keeps a large portion of that, and then a small portion of that is then sent to the counties. In order for the counties to receive that money, they have to set up a special service district to receive those monies. So it's its own governmental entity, a standalone entity. So the county has to go ask for those monies, and they then allocate or loan or however they choose to back to the county or to any other entity in our community. That, you know, Price City, Wellington, all of the entities have an opportunity to go and request those funds.
From the Special Service District?
From the Carbon County Special Service District.
Okay.
We also, and the reason why we have to do that is we also receive what's called PILT, or payment in lieu of taxes, that comes directly to the county. In order for us to receive that money, we can't receive directly the mineral lease monies. So we had to set up the Special Service District to be the pass-through or the fun, or the governmental entity that controls those funds. It's controlled by a board.
So with the decrease in mineral lease funding, obviously the money's through the various channels, but that amount of money has gone from 11 million initially, I mean, maybe a high of 11 million, and it's down to now?
This year we're projecting about 3 to 3.5 million. And that's, so with whatever has been built in the past in the county, there are those payments that are still being made on other buildings that have been built in the past. So they have a contract to pay for those. So whatever comes in, that $3 to $3.5 million, they first have to cover the contract, and then anything that's left over, they can then allocate towards projects or And those monies that do come in have very specific uses. You can't just use them for whatever. The specific charge of that district is recreation, transportation, and special services. So it can go towards the buying of ambulances or trucks for the road shop, or maintenance of a road, or things like that. It can go towards recreational activities, but it cannot be used in the general budget. We can't just say, okay, we need $1 million to offset our budget.
Now you said special services. I think you meant emergency services. That's why you were saying that they could be used for the ambulance and all that, right?
Right.
And so there's the separate entity that's set apart, and Commissioner Hopes, you sit on that board as well as one of its members, mm-hmm. Kind of as an advisory or counsel from the commission. And as you can see, the money there has decreased dramatically. And a lot of the money that they do receive, as Commissioner Hopes mentioned, is kind of locked away for the current debt payments that are being made right now.
Right.
And so there's only a small portion of that money that is now being received that could be used for other projects, which the cities and everybody in the community, there's always a list of projects that people would like that money to be used for.
Sure. All right. Well, then we have to look at, okay, we have obviously a major shortfall in overall, you know, whether it's a special service district or whatever, but that affects the county in so many ways. And so you're in the midst of trying to figure out how to make up for that, but that's the reason we bring our citizens here to the table, because it affects their businesses as well, and that's a concern.
DeLynn, I was just wanting to throw out there as well, we talked about part of the revenue that comes to the county through mineral lease. I'd also like to highlight that, you know, I get the comment often that taxes are always going up, taxes are always being raised. And there definitely is some movement in the taxes, but I want everyone to realize that on your property tax notice, there are three different entities on that tax notice that are taxing you. There's the Water Conservancy District, there's the Carbon County, and then there's the school district, our kids.
And then the city, for those in cities.
Those in the cities have the city as well, and perhaps some other entities in addition. So when you're seeing changes in your property taxes, it's not always the county. In fact, over the last 19 years, the county has only raised taxes twice. For the third time this past year. And those first two times, it was only aggregated together around $150,000, which per citizen, average citizen, that's only like $3. And so we have maintained flat Carbon County historically, what we have charged the citizens in their taxes. And we have done that in part because we've had this other source of funds, which again, whether it was right or wrong, to use a non-guaranteed source of income to fund government operations is questionable, but it's what we did. And it's the decisions that we're having to live with today and try to decide where to go from here.
Well, in my household, my check was spent, but then we also had money from piano teaching, and whatever it is, it all gets put into the pot and decided. And I know the school district has certain kinds of money, just like you've explained, that can be used for certain things, and other monies can only be used for other things. They have book money, and then they have concrete money, and you can't mix them. And so we're really facing that kind of stuff now. But
DeLynn, if I might, the other important thing to note in this conversation is centrally assessed. And I've had this conversation with a lot of folks because they, and you're right, as we've talked prior to this meeting, taxes, the amount that we individually are paying, I say myself included, I own a business and a home in the county, as we all do, the amount we each are paying continues to increase every year. Part of the reason that happens is because of centrally assessed. Years ago, the state said, okay, all of the entities or all of the businesses that cross county lines, the railroad, Rocky Mountain Power, your pipeline companies, Questar, all of these
telephone companies,
all of these large companies that cross, have businesses in multiple counties, the state says we will assess them one time rather than each county assessing them at possibly different levels. You could see the chaos that might cause. In Carbon County, we assessed it at this level, and in Grant County, they assessed it up at this level because they thought it was worth more. Yeah. So the state took that over and said all of these larger businesses that cross county lines will now be assessed at the state. And so every year, these large businesses go to the state tax commission and they fight their taxes. The same way each one of us has the right to go in and
appeal
our taxes. Well, their appeal happens to be millions and millions of dollars every year just for Carbon County. So when the state tax commission says yes, you know, you get your tax break, we as citizens end up picking up the cost, because the law, in order to help counties and government's budget, they say what you get this year, you will get next year.
Yep.
So the county has received about $5 million in general property taxes. Now the amount that we've received has been about $5 million for the last 20 years.
The dollar amount doesn't change, it's just who's paying it.
But Right. Who's paying it increases because of who either gets a tax decrease, and then if they get a tax decrease, the pie then is recalculated and everybody pays a portion of that. So I think that's part of this healthy conversation. Yes, we have all been paying part. It's been a blessing to have those in our community, the mines, Rocky Mountain Power, the railroad. They are blessings to our community, but at the same time, they are also part of that reason why we are seeing what appears to be an increase in our property taxes every year.
One of those large businesses goes out of business and relocates all their equipment, they empty their warehouse, they leave. That affects all of us. And the inverse is also true. If we're able to attract a large entity to our area that employs hundreds of people, you know, and that crosses county borders and different things, that also could decrease our burden on the rest of us that are living here.
Now, Emory County has gone through this many times with the power plants, with Hunter Plant, and this kind of a thing. Before we leave it, though, Jake, you mentioned that it's three times you've raised taxes in 19 years, and before that, it was, you know, $1.50 each or something or other. How much was it this time, last year?
This time it was 9.26%, which was the equivalent of $450,000, which the average household, what was the figure, $180,000? At $180,000 house would increase by, now, I might be a little off on this, I'd have to ask Seth, but I think it was like $10.
So about $20 something in that bracket. Yeah. Okay.
But also, to be fair on that, I just looked up the numbers before I came. The average person in Carbon County, the average family household, pays 1.25%, and the average in Utah is 2.04%. We are well below, in Carbon County, in the nation, one of the least placed in the taxes in the nation.
Thought in mind, we need to pause here. Remember, we are a commercial organization, so we'll pause for just a moment.
More Castle Country Focus after this on News Talk 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM KOAL.
Hey, it's Aunt Mary. She says she's booked Gateway Lanes for the family reunion.
That's different.
Should be fun with bowling and the games. And after last year with the mosquitoes, getting overheated one day and rained out the next, and the kids getting lost, we need a better place. They can even help us with outdoor location options.
Can we bring food? I still want Grandma's pies. And is it expensive?
She says we can, but they have hot and cold foods too, so we won't have to cook and clean. And it's affordable. Look at this.
Nice. I'm excited.
Call Gateway Lanes to book your family reunion. Call 472-5015.
Rush Limbaugh. Listen to Rush Limbaugh weekdays from 10 to 1 on News Talk 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM KOAL.
Hi, this is Joe Peterson, Chancellor of USU Eastern. I'd like to take a minute to brag about some of the amazing students we have here at USU Eastern. With the recent flooding that hit our community, USU Eastern student athletes gave up valuable practice time to help a community that has become their second home. From filling sandbags to cleaning up projects, our students logged more than 5,000 man hours during the flood relief efforts. Thank you, student athletes. For more stories about the outstanding students we have here at USU Eastern, visit our website at usueastern.edu.
Castle Country Focus continues on News Talk, 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, KOAL.
We're back here with our special edition of Castle Country Focus with our Commissioner Jake Meller, Commissioner Casey Hopes, our citizens representatives, of Auto Farm, Gus Kalatsis, Peterson Chemical, Alan Peterson, and Edgy Bling. Kara Hillam, this increase in taxes, I know off the air we've been talking about that. Gus, what's your thoughts?
Well, I guess my concern is that we've known that we've been utilizing temporary funds for years. And with the obvious war on coal, we've still found ourselves in a place that we're trying to get out of, and my concern is whether or not we can.
That's a good question.
And I think, I think for a lot of people it's the same concern. You know, what do you do when you've been used to living on extra funds that you're probably not going to get?
Well, the coal mining's been going on for 100 years, so
yeah,
was it temporary or not temporary? It's hard to... definitely is changing.
Yeah, in some ways we've dodged a bullet, whether you like or dislike Trump. At least the attempt is, or his attempt is in our favor with coal. That said, I believe that's probably temporary as well. It may be 4 years, 8 years, we don't know, maybe longer. I'm curious as to what the plan is.
All right, get your crystal ball out, Casey.
It's a great question. I don't know that there's 100% answer. We could get a new administration in 4 years and go back 180 back the other direction. I know what Carbon County's plan is and where we're trying to head, and that is to diversify without new growth in our community. And I'm not saying we want to become the new St. George and grow so tremendously fast that we who love it here are uncomfortable.
Carbon and Emery County have been growing at the rapid rate of a 1 to 1.5% for many, many years. We have been stagnant in our growth,
right,
as far as population goes, compared to the Wasatch Front or St. George or any place like that.
So with that, what I would like to see, and I think what we're trying to do, is we've developed an economic development committee. And part of that committee are multiple subcommittees. And the whole goal of that committee is to drive economic development. Some of you have attended some of those meetings, and we're having some of those conversations. What is it that we need to do in our community to attract or be more attractive to businesses? Is it upgrading Highway 6 from a highway to an interstate, so that we have a two-lane highway or a two-lane interstate all the way from Spanish Fork to Green River? Or is it that our infrastructure is not to the par to where new businesses can come in? So we're having all of those conversations. Also, beautification. What does our community look like? Mm-hmm. Part of beautification for me, how do we talk about ourselves? When people come to visit our community, what is our community saying about itself? Are we a good place to live? Or is the first thing out of our mouths, why are you coming here?
When people from out of town are in a restaurant, they're asking the waitress, where should I go hiking? Where else should I go tomorrow to eat? What are the responses? I mean, what are we saying about ourselves? That's exactly right.
Are we selling ourselves?
So getting back to the question, we have a very aggressive economic development movement pushing forward, and it's not being driven just by the county. This is a community-driven forum where we're asking all of the community to take part in this. What are your ideas? What are your plans? What can you help us with, and what can we do better? Part of those, obviously, we have to look internally. How can we be more business-friendly as a government office? Are our planning and zoning efficient so that when somebody comes in and gets a conditional use permit, it's a one-stop shop? They come in, they get the paperwork, they come back, they have a one meeting, and they're done. Those are things that we're looking at internally as part of this process to make sure that we are more attractive to businesses. And the other side of that is we are looking very hard at our budgets. We're taking a very hard look at what services we offer and how do we fund those.
I have some familiarity with economic development, and it's a long, drawn-out process. It takes time to do it. So we're really facing a long-term growth direction that we need to do. And diversification, coal diversification, and those types of things. But at the same time, we've got the Alan's favorite comment, we've got an 800-pound gorilla in the room that we've got to handle this year. That takes, Gus, what do you think of that?
Well, you know, in part it's about accountability, and I know the commissioners here aren't, the responsibility goes throughout the entire county, even to the citizens. But as Casey says, you know, are we actually selling ourselves? If a new business comes in, are we doing everything we can to try to find a place for them? Or are we just giving them the rules and kind of letting them walk out? Unfortunately, I've seen that. But we've tried to do economic development for years. Have we asked prospective companies why they didn't choose us? What have we, you know, we've done this for years, and I'm not sure that there's any results. So, I mean, in part, it's about accountability. We can't continue to do the same thing over again and expect different results. And I'm not suggesting that that's been happening, but the facts are is that we're not seeing results, and we do have an 800-pound gorilla in the room. What are we going to do about him?
So. I'd like to call it the multi-million-dollar gorilla.
That he is,
yeah. You know, there's a lot of limiting factors. We have been reaching out recently to find out why people choose other communities over us. And some of the times, a lot of the time, they just never heard about us to begin with. Those that did, Commissioner Hopes mentioned several of the limitations that we may have: infrastructure, four lanes on the highway freeway idea. Water is oftentimes for manufacturing, a very limiting item here in the area. So which of these big projects do we try and tackle, because can we do them all at once? So that's part of the reason of this Economic Development Committee, and involving a lot of the local leaders and business owners in this committee to try and help tackle some of that. Back to the process that we've been going through, we have been highlighting every department the county has since January, since we passed the budget. I mean, the process is to educate the community on how we receive money and then how we spend it. And all the different departments, the programs, the services that we offer the community. Our very last one is coming up next Wednesday, meaning after that one, we'll be through all the departments. I mean, there's still some other things that we could continue to talk about, but really soon, we've got some big decisions to make, I think. You mentioned the 800-pound gorilla or the multi-million-dollar gorilla. Where do we, after we've gone through and looked at everything, what do we do now? Because is it prudent for us, as I've mentioned in the past, is it prudent for us to spend above our means? I mean, yes, we used to have the revenue for everything that we're doing now, but some of that's gone away. And are we providing too good of services for the money that we now have? And so there may be some difficult decisions in the future.
Going back to the process that we've been going through, I've had comments of, what good is this doing, reviewing each budget? There's only $2,000 here, or $50,000 there, but it's much more than that. If you take what we started out with and where we're at now, we've found right around $4 million worth of savings and or errors. Some of the things that we've found, for example, we were budgeting, we receive money through the CIB to do projects.
The CIB is?
The Community Impact Board.
Thank you.
The Community Impact Board is basically, they receive mineral lease monies. They receive the state's portion of mineral lease monies. Then the counties can then go take either their portion or whatever they want, match that, and receive a low or a no interest loan, or sometimes grants to do projects. So let's take, for example, the soccer field. When we went to the CIB and asked them for money, they granted us the money to complete those soccer fields. So we completed part of the work in 2016,
14.
We're in 17, right? 2016, so we completed a fair amount of the work in 2016. Well, rolling into 2017, one thing that hadn't been done when we received this budget, and those are some of the things that we're finding, is the money that we had already expended, we then were counting again, not that we were going to spend those monies again, but those were still debts against us for this year.
As if
so once you take those monies out, that was a $400,000 swing, because we had already spent the money and we weren't planning on spending that money again. So when you take those monies out, and I think that's why this was such a healthy process. So going through this, we were able to identify lost revenue sources that we, a grant that maybe did got overlooked in the budgeting process, monies that were counted doubly or not counted the first time. And that's where the majority of this came from, the $4 million. Now, there is still a large amount to be made up. But that's where we want it to get to. Let's make sure the numbers are right first before we start cutting jobs or before we start making any decisions that are going to be impactful. Because no matter how we look at it, if any one of us lays off an employee, there's an impact to our community. So we wanted to make sure before we did something drastic that we were going down the right road.
I think we should tell our listeners about the recent changes on the landfill fees, where, and I think it's an excellent example of people paying for the services that they're getting and other people not paying for things that they're not using. Tell us about the landfill. And there's another about $400,000.
So currently it costs about $400,000 to run the landfill. And at the current structure that we were going through, everybody was paying for the landfill. It didn't matter if you used it or you didn't. So what we proposed and what we passed was those who use the landfill will then pay to operate the landfill. Kind of a fee-based. If you use it, then you'll help to pay for it.
You're charging $5 a pickup.
$5 a pickup
like that.
And $20 a ton for commercial use.
Okay. Speaking of commercial, we need to pause again here.
Castle Country Focus continues after this on News Talk 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM KOAL.
Hi, this is Joe Peterson, Chancellor of USU Eastern. I'd like to take a minute to brag about some of the amazing students we have here at USU Eastern. With the recent flooding that hit our community, USU Eastern student-athletes gave up valuable practice time to help a community that has become their second home. From filling sandbags to cleaning up projects, our students logged more than 5,000 man-hours during the flood relief efforts. Thank you, student-athletes. For more stories about the outstanding students we have here at USU Eastern, visit our website at usueastern.edu.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weekdays 1 to 4 on News Talk 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM KOAL.
Whoa, I just got a text from Mr. Peterman. When did he start texting?
Since he found out it's a great way to communicate. He's sending out a mass text about the company party. I just got it too. It says it's going to be at Gateway Lanes this year.
Gateway, huh? That's cool. My kids will love it.
He says we'll also have access to the volleyball court and walking path out back.
Really? Sounds perfect. I'm going to text him and tell him that my family will be there. What about you?
Oh, yeah, we're going.
For your company party, call Gateway Lanes at 472-5015. That's 472-5015.
Castle Country Focus continues on News Talk, 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, KOAL.
Welcome back to our special edition of Castle Country Focus. We appreciate the comments that have been made so far. With me is Commissioner Jake Meller, Commissioner Casey Hopes, Lassus, owner Peterson, and Edgy Blillum. Alan, then what is the next step along the way that we need to discuss?
Well, first, I don't know, but what I do know is I'm very appreciative of Commissioner Meller, Commissioner Hopes, and also Commissioner Potter for taking on the project. Whether it's a multi-million dollar gorilla, which it is, we just don't quite know where that's at. Casey's mentioned, found some ways of that's actually, he doesn't weigh as much as we thought he did in the beginning.
Instead of 6 million, we're down to 2 million roughly.
Yeah, give or take. So that's good news. And this process has been educational for everyone, for the commissioners, for the heads of departments, and for the citizens, the taxpayers. And so kudos for that, because I think it's a wise thing. You took on a lot more extra to work and stuff, but I think any time it leads to better education and better understanding, hopefully it's been worth it. I wish more people in the citizenry would participate in those. You got one last chance. Jake mentioned next week on Wednesday to do that. also thank the radio station for this program, because those who can't make a meeting, this is another venue to become educated.
Oh, for a shameless plug. You can go on KOALITV.com and you'll be able to see this happening, and these other previous meetings are also on there.
So I just encourage people to get involved. It's, you know, the world, our world is run by those who get involved. Our government is run by those who get involved. So thanks for the, you know, everything that I've been learning a lot. I've been content to just sit and listen because it is educational. Hopefully everybody else is feeling the same. So as I've gone to a couple of the meetings and watched go through line by line and stuff, I was shocked when I first found out that, you know, there had been a savings or errors or whatever that added up to $3 to $4 million. And because in that line by line thing, I mostly saw, you know, reduction in paper clips and pencils and tires and toners. And so, but you've explained it, Casey's explained it here today a little bit better in, you know, the different things that you just talked about. So however big that gorilla is, I'm glad to know it's shrinking, that it's not as big as first thought. And Jake is right, you know, at the end of this, there's probably still going to be a gorilla in the room. And then it gets, once you're done with cutting paper and paper clips, toner and tires, then it gets down to the tougher stuff. But again, I commend them for taking this on. I suspect that the can's been kicked down the road for a while with the mineral lease money in a constant drop that we've talked about and known about. So, you know, would it have been better if this would have happened prior? Yeah, but it's a lot better that it's happening now than not. So thanks to the three of you and whoever else played a role in that and taking on the hard stuff. The commission job, I'm convinced, is a full-time job. You guys, you know, have other responsibilities, and I know how tough it is to get when you get spread on so many different things, including your own private businesses and private lives. So it's huge, but it's the right thing to do. And put some time and effort into asking, like, this for comments and ideas and suggestions. But my challenge to the public is to provide you with more info to make wise decisions and the right decisions. And my challenge to you as a commission is to communicate back. The more communication we have, the more interchanges. I mean, we're just three people that happen to be business owners. I certainly don't know everything there is to know, so this is a good process for me. But we're all in this together. This is home for all of us, and the industries and the economics, we're all tied to this. So it needs to be a group effort to find a way to kill the gorilla, no matter how big and heavy he is.
And I appreciate that statement, Alan. Every year that I've been a commissioner, we've gone through very similar, previous to a budget getting passed, conversations of cutting and whittling out any fluff or anything. And it's been very long, hard conversations. The thing that I won't speak for the other commissioners, that was different about this year is if you look at our revenues and our expenses for the past, since I've been a commissioner, mm-hmm. our what we end up spending or what we're allocating to spend hasn't changed or has decreased or been consistent. So how did we all of a sudden go from covering our bills to that $6 million gorilla? And that's why, for me, I wasn't content until I knew where and why. Because no matter how I whittled away at it, I couldn't see where those monies were changing.
This process, putting the grill on the scale to get an accurate weight.
Right. And so that, so it's been a healthy process for us. And as far as community involvement, it's been amazing to hear some of the suggestions and to talk about what some of the ideas are of how we can fix this. And we've implemented some of those already. We're not just, okay, give us your ideas so we can file it away in the round filing cabinet. We're taking those and we're taking a good hard look at those. We put on the hiring freeze. That was something that was suggested in the very first meeting. We did that. We're on a hiring freeze. We've since laid some people off or had some people retire. We have not filled those positions because we know what we're looking at. And so please, if you have comments or suggestions, let's get in the room and start talking about those. Government financing is very complicated. It's not like business where all the money can be put in one pot and spent, however we want. It doesn't matter if. So, for example, in my business, I have color copiers and I have black and white copiers. If it were a government entity, you couldn't mix the color copies with the black and white copies because they're different copies. So, in governmental financing, that's how it kind of is. There are certain pots of money that cannot be spent but on certain things, and so some of those funds are restaurant tax, tourism dollars. Those are very specific pots of money that can only be spent on those things. So when we look at the budget, it's not just, well, you have enough to cover everything if you wiped away that department. It's, well, that money can be spent for this and this money can be spent for that. But if we get creative enough and we have the right conversations, I think that we can find some better solutions and better answers to those questions.
There are different colors of money, and they can't be mixed.
They can't. It's, or you lose them.
Or you lose them. All right, Kara, what do you think of all of this? Are we going in the right direction, or what directions, what are some other directions that maybe we could implement?
Well, I'm not sure about the directions, but I just have a question just so I can help understand a little bit more. So when you're saying that the expenditures were $38 million, but we really only had $32 million, if I understand correctly, I know that a lot of that does come from the mineral lease money. But my question is, I know, for example, like the soccer fields, we'll go back to that. I know that that money was funded like in 2014 or 2015. So that money went into that reserve pot for the soccer fields that are now being built. So when we're talking about that money, are we looking at that as a debt? Because yeah, we're dipping into the reserves to get that money, but that money was there and it was funded for that purpose a couple years ago.
So governmental accounting is that?
Yes, I know, but that's what I'm saying. It's very difficult.
Yes, it is. Yes, we do have to count that as a debt.
But it's different. It's not really a debt. It's a different kind because the money is for that.
The way that governmental accounting is set up, and that's one of the things that I struggled with when I first came on, is everything, if you spend it, it is a debt. Okay. Now you can show it in the revenue. So we show all of our revenues in one side. And then, so sometimes it's just a wash.
Right.
That money wasn't actually county money. That came from the special service district.
Right.
They had set it aside. And so when we then brought it, they gave it to us to build the soccer fields. We had to show it coming in, and we had to show it going back out the other side as an expense. So a lot of those things, for example, the new 7th District Court building, that will be 100% paid for by the state.
Correct.
But we have to show that as an expense. We show the revenues coming in, but we also show it as an expense going out.
I think that maybe that's something that we could do a little bit better job is educating where the money comes, exactly what you said, the money comes in, we have to show it going out, but sometimes we get confused. We think, well, is that mineral lease money? Is it state money? Or is it property tax money? And so I think when citizens think that their property tax money is paying for this, in reality it isn't, but maybe we could do a little bit better job of educating where that money's coming from and how things are being funded.
Right.
You know, part of the first part of the question you're asking is, you know, we've been spending more than we've been receiving, and some of that comes from the fund balances. And there's mm-hmm. several different funds. It's not all in one bank account, so to speak, like you mentioned. And there's been several projects discussed just recently that fall into that category where we are realizing in perhaps a certain year capital project incomes and expenses that we're not going to realize next year. And so to analyze year by year by year, you're going to see a lot of inconsistencies specific to those projects. So for us moving forward and understanding what we've got going on, you also have to have an understanding of the projects that we're going to be a part of.
Yeah.
And what one really good thing about all of this process has been for us to really dial down and understand what fund balances we have that truly still do exist, where the money's at, what it's allocated for, if there's other things we can allocate it to that may be a higher priority, or what strings are attached and where we can spend it.
Right.
Maybe we ought to throw in, just from my banking point of view, the word cash flow, the words cash flow. Are we $2 million still short of cash flow, of the amount of money of whatever source coming in as compared to going out or committed going out? I know we get into these
That's
projects
an excellent question.
And fund balances and things like that. So I think we need to make clear we're not talking about funny money. We're just saying when we add up this and add up this, our cash flow is still $2 million short. Is that right or no?
Or is it really $2 million short?
Yeah, or is it?
So the $2 million is kind of a rough estimate of sorts. It's probably a little bit mad or whatever, but still, we are expending more than we are bringing in, and that is correct. And we are limited at how much we can bring in through tax until the next year, so to speak. I don't know that that's our goal as far as covering that gap. We're looking at a lot of creative ways of overcoming that. There'll be more discussions on that in the future.
Yeah, Gus doesn't want his taxes to go up. We've made that clear already.
And I guess the correct answer to that would also be that no, we are not. We
are not what?
Spending more money than what? Every year we have to pass a balanced budget.
Right.
We passed a balanced budget. That balanced budget said that we were going to use
so much
reserves savings to make it up. So
taking money out of the savings account, as
correct,
it were.
Correct. So I just want to be clear that all governmental entities in the state of Utah have to pass a balanced budget starting out their year. Now, do they eat rainy day funds, or do they have all the revenues coming in? Yes, we are receiving rainy day, or using, that's what the way we passed this budget was to use rainy day funds. And that's not good policy. So, but we did pass a balanced budget according to the laws. So there's been some confusion on that as well. How could you pass a budget that doesn't cover? Well, it covered,
but it's
not a good way to cover.
All right, and with that somber note, we will pause for just a moment from our special edition of Castle Country Focus.
Castle Country Focus continues after this on News Talk 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, KOAL.
Hi, this is Joe Peterson, Chancellor of USU Eastern. I'd like to take a minute to brag about some of the amazing students we have here at USU Eastern. With the recent flooding that hit our community, USU Eastern student athletes gave up valuable practice time to help a community that has become their second home. From filling sandbags to cleaning up projects, our students logged more than 5,000 man hours during the flood relief efforts. Thank you, student athletes. For more stories about the outstanding students we have here at USU Eastern, visit our website at usueastern.edu.
Hey, it's Aunt Mary. She says she's booked Gateway Lanes for the family reunion.
That's different.
Should be fun with bowling and the games. And after last year with the mosquitoes, getting overheated one day and rained out the next, and the kids getting lost, we need a better place. They can even help us with outdoor location options.
Can we bring food? I still want Grandma's pies. And is it expensive?
She says we can, but they have hot and cold foods too, so we won't have to cook and clean. And it's affordable. Look at this.
Nice, I'm excited.
Call Gateway Lanes to book your family reunion. Call 472-5015.
Castle Country Focus now continues on News Talk 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM, KOAL.
Welcome back to our special edition of Castle Country Focus. We've had a good discussion off the air, but we've had some good news on the air. $6 million gorilla is maybe closer to $2 million, and the commissioners continue their public effort to go through every line item on the budget and examine it and make sure this is what we want to do, what they want to do. Again, we need public input. We need your involvement. So next Wednesday, which is March, what day? Anybody got a calendar?
28th, I think.
March 28th.
Is that right?
On Wednesday, we want to have 29th. People there.
29th.
On March 29th, we have the last public meeting to go over every line item, and the last four departments will be reviewed, and we'd surely encourage you to be in attendance. Okay, where do we go from here? Our gorilla is smaller, and that's good. We understand there's different colors of money that we can't touch and can touch. We need to make the last bit of progress.
You know, Delin, we've got this meeting coming up next Wednesday. It's the last meeting that we'll be covering all of our departments, the last of our departments here at the county that we're going to go over in the public setting. It's been a process since January that we've been highlighting all of them. I would probably say that we've had our normal work schedules plus an additional four times as many meetings behind the scenes as well as in the public setting to get us this far.
So you're down to earning about $1.95 an hour at this rate.
That might be on the high side.
Okay.
So, but no, it's been a good process. You know, there'll be some decisions that can be made, and I say that can be made because we'll be working off of data that we've gone through with a fine-tooth comb.
Okay. What are the kinds of decisions that can be made?
So we're looking at the gorilla, and we've talked about how the gorilla's getting skinnier. It's more of a monkey now. We need to decide what to do with that monkey. Are we going to let the monkey go, or are we going to send the monkey away? There's a number of different scenarios in which that plays out, and that's probably more for a later discussion after we go through the last four departments.
Okay. Well,
for me, I see it as a very broad approach. There is no one answer that will fix all of this problem. We will continue to work on the budget. We will continue to see where we can slim down the budget. But long term, the answer is, how do we move forward as a community and develop a strategic economic development plan? What businesses are we still in communication with that could potentially bring here and offset the tax base, bring more employment, and help us out?
Grow the pie to make it bigger.
Grow the pie to make it bigger. And the answer isn't always looking outside either. One of the things that we understood a long time ago when you were an economic developer is that the most progress that you'll make is internally, inside your own community. Do we support our local businesses? Are we helping them to grow? Are we supporting them in the ways that we can? Where are we shopping over the mountain or on Amazon? So all of this, all of these things play factor into our ability to fix the budget and the problems that we face in our community.
Good. Kara?
I think that was very well said. I think that we've made some efforts. There's a lot more to go. I have more questions on, you know, like more specifically where money's going, where we can cut. But I think we've done a really great job seeing kind of what's happening and getting some of that information out. So,
Alan?
Again, this has been very educational for myself. I appreciate the efforts and The grill was smaller than originally thought, and I appreciate Casey's comments about growing from within. That's always been my philosophy as well. As citizens, as business owners, as government officials here locally, if we truly would look to each other first and give each other the opportunity before we do the go over the hill thing or the shop online thing, we don't need a president to enable us to do that. We don't need a governor to enable us to do that. We just need the person looking back at us from the mirror to allow us to do that. And so that would be my challenge. And I've actually said that for a number of years, exactly the way Casey just put it across, because don't wait for somebody else to make a difference here locally. Let's just start with yourself. And if each one of us did our part, we'd make a huge improvement economically, just from within. Doesn't always work. It doesn't always happen. I get that. I understand that. But if you give the local business a try, an opportunity, if it fails, like Gus said earlier on, share that information as to why it didn't work. And that's the only way we can improve. We have to know about our failures before we can fix them.
Gus?
I don't know that I have a whole lot to add. I think it was a great discussion. It's obviously a little more comforting to know that the gorilla is down from $6 million. But I think in part, as both commissioners have said, that first we have to understand the numbers and understand exactly where the deficiencies or the overages are, and then move from there. There may have to be some hard decisions or we also, I would hope that we're looking to the other side to really try to go after some additional economic development, be it small pieces or larger ones. I think it makes a little more sense to try to build some diversity in our economy. I think we've spent way too many years hanging on to a particular item that has gone up and down over the years. I think even back from the 70s, we've seen, our industry go up and down, and it's been very, very good to us over the years. But I think we need a little bit more diversity, even if they're smaller pieces. So.
Well, and like so many things in life, it ultimately comes down to us doing what we need to do, the commissioners doing what they need to do, and then all of us coming together, adding our ideas, and bringing together the strength that is here and the understanding that is in our area, and we can overcome this. And progress is made, and more progress needs to happen, and it will. So that brings us to a conclusion of our special edition of Castle Country Focus. We will be back, I believe, again, and further discuss some of these things. Economic development, difficult decisions that may need to be made in the relatively near future. And we hope that you will contact the radio station, the commissioners, and our good citizens here with your ideas and comments and suggestions.
You've been listening to Castle Country Focus on News Talk 107.3 FM and 750 AM KOAL.
Hello, this is Joe Peterson, Chancellor of USU Eastern. I'd like to take a minute to brag about some of the amazing students we have here at USU Eastern. Our women's volleyball team gave back to the community this summer as they volunteered with our local elementary students. USU Eastern students participated in summer programs by helping the elementary kids with music enrichment. Thank you, student athletes, for giving of your time to make a difference in the lives of those looking up to you. For more outstanding stories about our students, visit our website, USU Eastern.edu.
Listen to Drive Time Sports weekdays 4 to 5 on News Talk 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m. KOAL.